This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hello, listeners. Can you believe it? It's already the last week of January. Mm-hmm. Time has flown. Before we know, it's the end of the last week of the first month. But we are grateful that we're not alone, and we want to welcome you at this program where we talk about addictions and hurts and habits and hang-ups and restoration and redemption in the face of addiction, the most important. And those of you who have been listening this month will know we've been speaking to André Leroux. And if you missed it, listeners, he had already spoken about what is process addictions, what is substance addictions. Last week, we spoke a lot about substance addictions. And this week, he's going to tell us more about process addictions in detail. So we're looking forward to talk to André. André, welcome back.
Thank you. Yes, good evening.
Yes. And Frederick, can you just give us the podcast address for those people that missed out the previous episodes that would like to go back?
Yes, listeners, it's a wonderful opportunity to get to hear what was being shared and to pass it on to a friend and for them to also gain them knowledge and information and at www.kpulpit.co.za, and then you click on podcasts and then you click on Into Me See. And there, look for the specific podcast that you would like to listen to.
Yes, and André's got more than 30 years' experience of addictions, and he's been giving us a bird's eye view this month on addictions in general. Because, listeners, as you know, in this program, we often focus, every month we have a different focus. Sometimes we talk about treatment centers, and we talk about outpatient behavior. We talk about recovery groups. Excuse me. But because it's January, we thought we're going to do an overview about what are the things that we deal with when we talk about addictions. And so today, André is going to continue to talk about process addiction. André, you can get right into that.
Great, yes. What I initially sort of noted was that people that were coming for substance problems sometimes also spoke about other problems, which eventually became obvious to me that this is also addiction. So in the early days, it was usually going to the casino, or it was the addiction to porn magazines or porn videos at that time. And then I started to develop the interest of saying, well, what part of that could be addiction? So the analogy kind of developed for me to see that there was the same preoccupation. There was the same loss of control. So, you know, loss of control could be things like failed attempts to stop or unable to cut down, or failed promises to other people. And I started to see that this was no different actually to the chemicals. And over the years, I've been part of the treatment network treating gamblers. And that was really very fortunate, because in the transition from the old conditions pre-democracy. Gambling, for example, was only allowed in outside the borders of the country.
I remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now it was incorporated. And what developed with it is the realization that we're going to have people who become addicted, and those people need help. So, you know, the gambling helpline was developed, and I was one of the treatment professionals beginning to treat the early gamblers. And then as internet developed, I found that people moved their sex addictions from videos and mags onto DVDs, and then the next thing was the downloading of pornography, because the access with internet became easier and easier, And their drug of choice, if it was sort of porn, was right in their home on their laptop. It was actually very easy and cheap eventually to access.
Hmm.
You know, so we started to realize even that some people were becoming admitted just for porn or just for gambling, and it was as traumatic for the person as well as their loved ones. But, of course, there are other aspects that one needs to address. I think for the gambler, the outstanding issue that is very prominent is, of course, money.
Mm.
Because money is the liquid for the gambling addict or the betting addict.
Mm.
For the sex and love addict, their liquid is the porn or the frequenting of prostitutes or, you know, cheating on the wife, those kinds of things. So one needed to develop an understanding of that can be as severe as the chemical addict.
But
and, yeah.
So I'm just thinking, Andre, that when we talk about somebody that is a sex addict or is addicted to porn, it is not a question of just all of a sudden jumping into the most severe level of that addiction. It starts somewhere, and it often starts somewhere where we talk about the triple A's. It's affordable, it's accessible, and it's anonymous. And especially with the sexual addiction or the porn addiction, that's very, very true for that. And it increases in severity just like any other type of addiction. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it does have a progression, just like the chemicals. And it does that numbing that you were referring to. Is the intoxication. In other words, that over a period of time, the repeated behavior brings up that numbing. And that's very often when you're dealing with the spouse and partner, the symptom that they describe, just that absolute deadness, that the life has gone out of this person, and they're just not present. They're not there. Of course, they're there physically, but not actually.
Exactly.
You know, so that's the intoxicating element. And with the gamblers and the gaming addicts, they also reach a numbness.
Yes.
Because the adrenaline and the other chemicals that are part of the chase of the high. Just has to be more and more.
Yeah, one of my friends that I met in a recovery group was saying that he's actually addicted to a drug, but he was talking about his sex addiction, and that was a dopamine. So that was a chemical that was actually produced by the body, because just now I heard you saying his drug of choice.
Yes. So with each of those process addictions, just as the chemical addict has a drug of choice, the one person would say, well, my drug of choice is beer, the next alcoholic says it's spirits. You know, with the process addicts, they also have their drug of choice, and it meets those criteria just now that you referred to, Frederick. You know, so if they can't go to the casino, they do gambling online or poker games or whatever their next drug of choice becomes.
But it's about Continue.
Yes, and even then, in the progression, they will go further and further. So it's bigger amounts if you're looking at the gambler.
Exactly.
It's longer time with the porn addict is that they go to more and more extreme kinds of porn.
And eventually prostitutes, right?
Yes. So they're all those things that they thought they would never do, that they do. And that's really where one is hopefully going to lead the addict to realize that that wasn't normal. It wasn't okay. I went too far, and I've got to be open to help.
Right.
So just in the same way as what a chemical dependent would develop a tolerance, so also the process addict also develops a tolerance, and each time he needs something more of a kick to get him to that same level of dopamine that has been released.
So I want you to go in a little bit on the whole serotonin, dopamine, the whole mix that comes into, because that's actually what a person gets addicted to, right? The chemical in the brain. But let's talk more about that after the break. So welcome back, listeners. Before the break, we started talking about what is secreted in the brain that people actually get addicted to with process addictions. Andre.
Yes, so it's quite interesting to understand, and there have been lots of case studies looking at the chemical changes and the neurochemical changes of the process addictions. So the interesting thing certainly with it is that there is also then, if there's progression, there's also going to be withdrawal. So, very often that's what somebody has to realize, is that that's what indicates that I can't just stop or cut down like I was intending to. And then the other thing to really understand is that there will be cravings. So I will have triggers that sets me off. And it's those triggers that often gets me back to the same old story. You know, so for the gambler, for example, it's payday is the trigger. For the porn addict, it could be loneliness or fears. So we work on the triggers. And also then helping the person to get rid of the shame, and helping the person to develop strategies to repair what can still be repaired. You know, so for example, I think especially with process addictions, there's the breakdown of trust. And that doesn't just happen because somebody's admitted that they're addicted. Trust has to be rebuilt, and rebuilding trust takes as long as it's going to take. There's no, sort of bottom line or time as a period with it. You know, so a lot of it is, I think, early treatment is around getting sober from the drug of choice. And I think longer treatment is about remaining sober from the drug of choice.
And that's where the difficulty comes in, right? Comes in with process addiction, because what is sober? Yes. That's the next question. But please follow through with your thought that you had before. Yes. Sorry for interrupting.
So what one does in therapy is that you've got to help the person define the sober point. So sober point for this person is no free time on the internet. For another person is, well, I'm not going to go to the casino on Saturday. And then the opposite is, well, what is then healthy behavior? So healthy behavior would be when I'm sitting on the computer and my wife's next to me, and we're looking for bargains for the new washing machine rather than the secret activity when my wife's at work. You know, so sober point is first step, but then putting in boundaries and behaviors and, you know, controls that people are going to remain sober and return to a sense of rebuilding their life that is, has been broken because of their addiction.
And you know, you were talking a little bit earlier, Andre, about the triggers and how easily someone can be triggered. And I mean, just like a payday can be triggered, but that it's not because it's payday. It's because there are a number of feelings and emotions that are being brought to the fore and become very intense, that need to be regulated, and unregulated, they take a person to that addiction, and and that means that one needs to get down to the root of where does this impulse or this craving come from. Can you speak a little bit more about the root of these addictions?
I think it's a very important part, and that's why somebody's life story is very important for the therapist, because it's often in sharing their life story that you identify the early wounding or the early connecting to the high. You know, so you find out something in their childhood or their first relationship or a difficulty at work indicates those triggers, and you're going to have to work at dismantling those beliefs and behaviors so that they can generate and develop the different and new behaviors. You know, so a lot of it is around actually just getting to know, you know, yes, what is the root, but also around helping a person in the healing process of filling that gap and that need so that they don't feel deprived or punished by their sobriety. You know, so very often, I mean, the 12-step program that AA utilizes speaks about the first step is getting sober. And step two and three speaks about higher power, which we need to be God, and developing spirituality in a sense of, if I'm going to want to remain sober, then that's going to have to be my foundation.
Oh, absolutely. We often talk about the 12 steps here in this program, and we've done that before, and we often talk about Celebrate Recovery because it's so foundational to have that community, and then the wonderful way that steps help us to reconnect with God, reconnect with others, and the way in our relationships and how it brings intimacy back into our relationships. Andre, I just have another thought. I'm being the codependent of an addict. That's my story. And I'm in several fellowships where I introduce myself as a recovering codependent. And so I've been in recovery for many years. But do you see codependency? So what friends and family often develop, you described that in one of the earlier programs, the behavior and so on that we develop, also as a process addiction.
Yes, I do see it as a process addiction. And there are people that actually go into treatment for their codependency, because they are in the chronic pattern of their codependency. I sometimes think even that an abuser who stays in an abusive situation is actually codependent.
Absolutely.
You know, so very often that codependency has got as severe manifestations as an addict would.
I'm also a trained counselor, and often when I work with people, I just see that fixation on the other people, and that it's that they and the learned behavior that you're talking about, where it's so hard for them to think about themselves, and that's where the Bible tells us we need to love others like ourselves, right? Not more than. I mean, so other situations we need to put them more than us, but there's like ourselves. And that when you were talking about the new behaviors, I was just thinking how the first thing that we do to help people just with self-care, just to care, because that old thing that we always talk about, when you're in the aeroplane, you put on the masks first so that you can help other people. Because so often in relationships with where there's an addict in the home, especially I think when it's substance, maybe even worse than the process addictions, those people, family and friends get so obsessed that eventually they get completely distorted in their thinking and also end up in a terrible state.
Yes. And the addiction flourishes in that
environment.
Because it's, because it's perfect to enable them.
And all the drama, they feed on the drama, right? Or shall I say we? Because we had to learn more and more to get away from that and to, wow, there's so much more to say. We can certainly continue to talk for another hour. And I also want to tell listeners that you might start looking forward to us because in March we're going to change this program to an hour program. Up till now, it's been pre-recorded, as often you could hear probably. We always try to make it sound like we've done it on the day, but it doesn't always work that way. Where we're going to have a full hour program and where you can call in and you can ask your questions. And we're really looking forward to it because often when we do these interviews, it feels like just when we're digging, when we're getting deeper, that's when we need to end the program. And unfortunately, Andre, that's when I need to leave you, but we will certainly call you again, another opportunity maybe where people can call in and ask questions another in the rest of the year. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today.
Yeah, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Andre, for being with us. And listeners, may you have a wonderful rest of the year. We're at the end of January, just about. And may you have a blessed time and remembering that we are never alone. God
always
has promised that He is always with us and He will never leave us or forsake us. And so also, whether you the person struggling with an addiction or you're a family member, you are never alone. There are many, many communities that you can slot into where you can find healing and hope. If you missed one of our podcasts that or something you'd like to listen again, please go to kpulpit.co.za and click on podcasts and click on Into Me See, and you can hear and listen to the podcast again.
And then please contact us if you have more questions or you want to know more about one specific aspect that we've spoken about. Contact us at Frederick Suki, Frederick, one word, with a K, not with a CK, Suki, S-O-E-K-I-E, at kpulpit.co.za. We're looking forward to hear from you. God bless.
Yes, and goodbye to Andre, and listeners, we'll see you and listen and with you next week again.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.